scrap bag that I call my mind. What am I doing? Welcome to Stephanie's Train Travels.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
This time, we're going to talk about love on the train because Valentine's Day is right around the corner. This is going to be about all the special couples I've met and the anniversaries and the proposals and the engagements and the honeymooners because Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
The love episode. That's what you called it.
Thank you for listening. Also, folks, for those of you, of course, you can't see me because I'm on the radio, but I have my Cupid necklace on in honor of Valentine's Day, and of course, it's pink.
Your favorite color.
Of course. Yep. Now, I wish Barbara Streisand was here, but she's not.
in spirit.
Okay. Anyways, one of the best, I really think one of the best trips I've ever had was coming from Portland to Chicago. There was a couple named Charles and Les Arendt, and they're from Georgia, and they were celebrating their 45th anniversary, and their children had gotten them a sleeping car trip for their anniversary, and I met them several years ago, and they send me a Christmas card every year. We keep in touch. But what was really special is just how nice they were. You know, a good old Southern couple from Georgia, and they were so excited to be on the train and just so happy. And so what we did is in the dining car, there's sheets of paper that we put over the tables in the dining car. So what I did is I took one of these sheets of paper and I folded it, because it's huge, as many times as I could to make a homemade anniversary card. So what we did is we passed this card throughout our car and had everybody in my sleeping car sign it. And then we presented it to them with also a cake that I had ordered. I have a friend that was in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he was actually going to travel to Chicago with me. And so I asked him, I said, is there any way if I order a cake from a grocery store, would you go pick it up? And he said, oh, Stephanie. He said, all the things you do. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to place the order. And basically, I wanted to get the biggest cake I could possibly get. And it was so pretty. It was probably the most prettiest cake I've ever had made. And it was kind of a fallish time of year, if I remember correctly. So they decorated it with all fallish colors. And so when he came on board at St. Paul, Minnesota, we presented Charles and Les Arendt their anniversary card and their anniversary cake. And everybody in the sleeping car came by to visit them and wish them a happy anniversary. But what was really interesting is I had gotten such a big cake that everybody in the sleeping car had had one or two pieces, and then I had like half a cake left. So I asked them, I said, folks, would you mind if I offered the coach passengers behind us some of the cake? Back in the day, we had a coach car that got added at Minneapolis-St. Paul behind my sleeper. So what I did is the couple, Charles and Les, said, yeah, sure, have anybody who wants a piece of cake, come over here and grab some cake. So I had an empty room, so I invited the coach passengers to our party, and they were all excited. They said, wow, we've never had this happen before. So, you know, the passengers that ride in the coaches behind my sleeper, you know, basically, if you're in a coach, all you have is a coach seat and you know, restrooms downstairs, and you're the last car on the train. They were like 7 cars from the dining car and almost 4 cars from lounge cars. So it was kind of hard for a lot of those people to maneuver around, especially if you're elderly or handicapped, you know. So they were quite excited. They were just like floored. They're like, wow, we got cake? You know? So that was fun. And we've kept in touch over the years. Charles and Les always sends me a Christmas card every year, and I write them back. So that was probably one of the funnest trips I've had in a long time. And that was probably almost 4 or 5 years ago. You know,
they're on the list for your pen pal. What do you call your pen pals?
My peeps.
Your peeps.
Yeah, my train peeps.
They're part of your peeps.
They are part of the peep club. Yes, Charles and Les Arendt, and they live in Georgia, if I remember correctly. But that was a lot of fun
That's
to do
really
that.
Nice story.
You know,
yeah.
People. You know, they're honeymooners that come out on the train and that spend their honeymoon on the train. You know, like I said, the people that love trains, they want to stay on the train and come out there and spend their honeymoon on the train. I had one trip on the California Zephyr, and it was a funny story because it was around Valentine's Day again, and I literally called this train trip the love train. There was an incident where I had a couple get on, probably at Sacramento, if I remember correctly, and they were traveling to Reno, and I kept noticing in there, they had room 9 all the way at the end, so I kept noticing the big garment bag. The lady had traveled with a big garment bag, and I kind of was peeking a little bit at the top of it, and it was a wedding dress. So I kind of took her aside and said, "Is that a wedding dress?" She's like, "Yeah, we're going to Reno to get married." And I'm like, "Oh my God." So I asked them if it was okay to make the announcement locally in our sleeping car to congratulate them. And also I made her take it out of there so I could see what it looked like. So I asked her, I said, "Is there any way I could see what the wedding dress looks like?" She's like, "Yeah, but he can't see it." So we shooed away all the men. We got them all out of the car, and I told all the ladies, I made an announcement over the PA. I said, "Ladies, she's going to show us her wedding dress. Come meet me in room 9. So all us ladies got together, and we looked at her wedding dress. It was so pretty. So what I did is I made them promise to send me a picture of them, and they did. And I forgot their name, but it's at home somewhere in the pile of stuff, part of the Peep Club. But that was cool. You know, now that has never happened before. Uh-huh. I never had a couple with the wedding dress and everything going to Reno to get married for the weekend. So
that's
that
also
was cool.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That was very cool.
When you told me you were going to tell me a few of the stories, like very quickly before we started recording, you told me what you were going to talk about. And when you said that, that they traveled with their wedding dress.
Yeah.
For some reason, I had imagined that she was wearing the dress.
No,
This makes more sense.
Yeah. But it was so pretty. But it was it was such a romantic story, you know?
Yeah.
They had met in Sacramento or something over wine, and they loved. I remember her telling me that we just met each other within the last year, and everything was in line for them. So they fell in love, and off to Reno they went to get married. That was cool though to see a wedding dress on the train, you know. Yeah, and I was glad she let me see it because it's kind of private, you know.
Yeah. Are there any things that you guys do to decorate the train or to acknowledge that it's Valentine's Day?
I do decorate my car all the time. For those of you who travel with me, you know that if it's Valentine's Day, there's going to be heart candy out by the coffee pot. There's going to be like I have this one silk red beautiful scarf that I put out that has hearts all over it. I put that out by usually on the wall, you know, with all my other stuff that I put out. I put out my normal trips, I put out the dining car menu out in the hallway so people could see it, you know, so they know what to expect to eat, to order. It's laminated. And then I always put out my maps so you could travel along to see where we're traveling to. And then I always put out my little fresh air / smoke stops. And then I do my Glacier Park map because we travel through Glacier Park, Montana, so people could understand where we're traveling to.
Can you tell us? Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Can you tell us a little bit about Glacier Park?
Glacier Park, Montana is beautiful. The Big Lodge in Glacier Park was built by the railroad. Actually, James J. Hill, it was his idea. James J. Hill is the man that the Empire Builder is named after. He was considered the Empire Builder because his idea was to take folks from Minnesota and to go see Glacier Park, Montana. But this time of year, unfortunately, Glacier Park, it snowed in. Everything shut down. So we will start stopping there again in May, I believe around May 4th or May 5th. So if you are actually going to travel to Glacier Park now for some reason, you would get off at Browning, Montana, which is the Native American Reservation area. So that's the only way to travel to Glacier Park now, in the winter, because all the big lodges are closed and stuff. But what's interesting, though, when right before they start opening up all the lodges and stuff, they have a lot of teenagers, not teenagers, but over 18, I guess, youngsters that come from Europe to work at the big lodge. And I always thought that was, I said, boy, if I was young, I'd love to work there, you know, because it's such a great place. You have so many lakes up there, and it's just, if you go into this lodge, now, I've never gotten a chance to go to the big lodge, but when you step into the lodge, I've seen pictures of it, you have 100-year-old trees in the lobby. I mean, it's huge. It's massive. And it was built in the, I want to say, early 1900s. And back then, you had bathrooms that were down the hall, not even in the rooms. So as, you know, things progressed, they had to remodel a lot of those rooms because, you know, people want your bathroom to be in your hotel room. So, right. But I've never had a chance to go there. I would love to travel there and stay there, but I've never had. Yeah, maybe someday, maybe this summer.
You have a list, right, of places that you'd like to go?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, maybe this summer. Yeah.
Maybe this summer.
We could share some of the stories because you knocked out a couple of those. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. Do you have any other Valentine's Day stories? Oh, you have a long list.
I have another one. The other one is I was working with a gentleman named James Buley, and he's the dining car steward. And this is the same trip where the wedding dress was. That's why I called that trip the Love Train. Because it's unbelievable. We had the couple that was getting married, and then James came to me and he said, "Stephanie, you're not going to believe this, but this is right up your alley." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "There's a guy, a passenger from the coaches. He wants to propose to his girlfriend in the dining car at a table." And I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Don't you want to decorate it?" I said, "Of course I want to decorate it." So he's like, "Well, what can you do? What do you have?" I said, I got my little candies. I could put little hearts, you know, my little stickers on the table. I could get some flowers from somewhere because I always bring some fresh flowers if I can and put it by my coffee pot." So he's like, "Okay." He's like, "You got an hour to decorate the table." And I said, "I'm only going to do this on one condition." He's like, "What?" I said, "Can I please watch?" You know? He's like, "Well, we'll be in the corner. We'll have him all the way at the other end of the dining car, and then you and I could sit at the other table." I said, "What if she says no?" You know? He's like, "She's not going to say no." I said, "Okay." So I went and I got all my little heart candies I put around the table, and I think I came up with some fresh flowers. I put that there, and I had some little heart stickers that I put on the table, you know, so it was looking pretty festive there for a bit. Yeah, so he came over, the passenger, and said, "Well, thank you for decorating this. It's very nice of you." I said, "No problem. I love it." I said, "Is it okay if James and I sit over here in the corner and watch?" He's like, "Yeah." You know, he kind of hesitated. I said, "We won't say anything. We'll be way over there. I just want to see her reaction." And so I got to watch him propose to her. So that was very exciting.
And she said yes.
She said yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then James actually bought them a bottle of wine.
That's nice.
You know, yeah. So that was nice. Yeah. So it was fun. That's my other story. So that's the Love Train that day. It was a lot of fun. And it was around Valentine's a couple years ago on the California Zephyr. And for those of you who have never traveled on the California Zephyr, it's a beautiful trip going through the Sierra Mountains. Once you depart Sacramento, you start to climb up into the beautiful Sierra Mountains. It's incredible to see that through winter, you know, with all the snow. And you're way up there, too. I remember the first time I was on that train, I was quite nervous. I'm like, "Oh, my God, we're really up here. I'm kind of nervous." You know? But it's a beautiful trip. I kind of miss that train. But, you know, I go through Glacier Park, which is just as beautiful. But the Sierras is very impressive. I don't know how they built those railroads up, the tracks up there. It's amazing. It's amazing what they did. And also, California Zephyr, you travel through the longest tunnel that we have called the Moffett Tunnel, and your ears actually pop. It's 6.8, I think it's 6, okay, I don't want to say the wrong miles, but I could have sworn it's 6.8 miles, and it shaved off 5 hours of a train trip because wow. you used to have to go around, you know, up the mountain, mm-hmm. but here you just tunneled through. But the Moffett Tunnel, I think it's 6.2 miles, if I'm correct. And then it's 10 minutes long, and your ears actually pop in the tunnel. Yep.
6 miles is still a long time. Yeah, 10 minutes in a tunnel?
It is, yeah.
I know when you drive through certain parts of the country, yeah. like Pennsylvania,
right?
You go through some of those big yeah. tunnels, but it's not a...
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a quick tunnel.
Yeah, and once the train enters the tunnel, there's a steel door that falls down behind us. And then sometimes we actually have to wait until the tunnel is cleared from the diesel fumes sometimes. So when we used to get to the Moffett Tunnel, sometimes the train would stop and the conductor would get on the PA and say, folks, you know, we're just waiting for the fans to clear the tunnel because there are a couple freight trains that went in before us. And so there's a lot of diesel smoke. And sometimes that will get into the train, mm-hmm. you know. And I had one passenger, actually, going through that tunnel really bothered her. She actually had, I think she told me she had a collapsed lung, and she was having a hard time breathing after that. Mm-hmm. So you're up there in the altitude very much on the California Zephyr. And that's a tough train to work, but it's a beautiful trip. Just beautiful.
Nice.
Yep.
Do you have your terms for the week?
I do. Let me put on my glasses. Okay. All right. Train terms. Okay, number one, it's called the coupler. The coupler is the piece that connects the two trains together, cars together. So when they're adding cars in the train yards in Chicago, they will couple on one car to another. And then sometimes you'll hear over the radio, stretch them, which means they want to stretch the cars to make sure they're connected. And so coupler is the train term that we're talking about today. And then there's handbrakes. With my car, my Portland Sleeper being the last car on the train, I have the handbrakes at the end of my car. And basically, sometimes when the train conductors that work in the yards, they will come back and they will say, we got to set the handbrake. And that is always at my car because my car is the last car on the train. So they will literally physically come inside my sleeping car all the way at the back of the car is my door where there's a handbrake that they have to pump to set the handbrakes physically inside the car. Yep. Those are the two train terms of the day.
Thank you very much for
telling us what those mean.
Okay. What else do you want to talk about to finish it off? We got about...
Let's see. I leave Saturday, but this will be aired probably around Valentine's Day, you were saying. Mm-hmm. But what I'm excited about leaving Saturday is it's the day before the Super Bowl. So I expect our train to be very busy. Mm-hmm. We leave the day before the Super Bowl, which is Saturday, and we actually go through Minneapolis-St. Paul. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm thinking about decorating my car in footballs.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
Yeah, it would be kind of fun. Something different.
Are there certain times of the year? Because I know I was telling you, I texted you one day this week to tell you how I would really like to take a trip down to Texas.
Right.
We're in Chicago. We're considered Chicago.
Yeah, we're Chicago.
So, you know, I want to go somewhere near Austin, San Antonio area. And you were telling me, because I told you I want to do that between March and April.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
And you were saying, you know, be careful that spring break time.
Yeah, that's spring break.
So the trains are particularly busy.
Very busy.
Is Christmas crazy? Is New Year's crazy? Valentine's Day is coming up.
I would say the busiest time is summer. I mean, it's packed. Mm-hmm. I mean, because basically right now when I go to work on Saturday, there will be my Portland Sleeper and there'll be one Seattle Sleeper. And come spring, they're going to add two. There'll be a total of two Seattle Sleepers.
Okay,
see? So they take off cars as needed and stuff, but there has always been only one Portland Sleeper. Long, long time ago, like maybe one or two trips that there were two Portland Sleepers. And I thought that was a great idea. But this time of year, it gets a little slow right now and around February and stuff. But years ago, we just had that when I was a kid. For high school, we just had spring break around Easter. Mm-hmm. That was our spring. Sorry, my phone's ringing.
It's okay.
Anyways, we had 1 week, which was spring break. And now all the colleges throughout the United States, they have different times. So now we have like a month in March where there'll be a spring break then. Then there'll be April, which will be another spring break. So yeah, we have a lot of passengers that will travel to Whitefish, Montana for spring break because that's called Big Mountain Ski Resort there.
Okay.
And so the kids love to go skiing. You know, I'll see them coming with the skis and the coolers. I'm like, oh boy, here we go, spring break. But it's fun. You know, I've never been a skier. That's another thing I wish I would have tried when I was young. But I'm pretty a klutzy girl, so I figure if I'm going to go skiing, maybe we'll try cross country once. But we're not going down a mountain because Stephanie's going to run into a tree. But, yeah, spring break's coming, March and April. And then come May 4th or 5th, Glacier Park will open. And it's still pretty cold up there in May, you know. So a lot of people start traveling in June, July. 4th of July is a huge, huge holiday out there for us. A lot of people travel through to Whitefish and Glacier Park and, you know, just throughout the whole country. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. That's it for this week, I guess.
That's it for this week.
Those are very good stories.
Okay.
Yeah, those are very nice stories.
That was the love train stories, folks.
Yeah. And this is the love episode, right?
The love episode, yeah. Come visit me. Come take the Portland Sleeper. Come see all my posters, my candy. Come take a train ride, folks. Come ride with us. It's a great way to see the country. We'd love to have you with us. Thank you.
This grab bag that I call my mind. What am I doing alone on the shelf? Ain't it a shame, but no one's to blame but myself. Which way is clear when you've lost your way? Self there.